Well, hello and welcome to another edition of the KKFI Arts Magazine Show. I'm Michael Hogue, your host. Glad to have you with us on this toasty Monday morning here in the city as you listen to the Arts Magazine Show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, your community radio station, right here in Kansas City. Showers are expected later this afternoon, so you stay tuned to 90.1 FM KKFI this afternoon and this evening. We'll send all the weather bulletins your way as they come down from the National Weather Service. Actually, we don't have a choice in the matter. They just interrupt the show and come in. But you stay tuned. You don't have to go anywhere else. You'll hear some interesting things going on today and all your weather information as well. We're going to talk about a couple of summer musicals today. Isn't summer the time for summer musicals? We've talked about several already. And we're going to cover two more today. As the group from the Blue Springs City Theater is with us, they're doing the musical version of Tom Sawyer. Yes, The Cave, the whitewashing of the fence, all of the fun that goes around with all that. Yeah, I was born near Hannibal, Missouri, so I've visited all these places. I've actually whitewashed that fence. I wasn't conned. Well, I don't want to give away the story, but the director and three members of the cast are with us here today. Tom Sawyer, set in 1840 Hannibal, Missouri. And with us to tell us all about it, the director of Tom Sawyer, Luke Atkinson. He's very young looking. As he and the other cast members arrived, I thought to myself, well, this guy looks, he's a little older. He's probably the director, and this guy is Tom. Actually, I was wrong. It's just the opposite. So I apologize for that. Luke Atkinson, the director, is with us, and he brought along Andrea Alanese, who plays the role of Becky Thatcher, Andrew Ainsworth, who plays the key role of Tom Sawyer, and Tracy Pratt, the ever-lovable Aunt Polly. Welcome all to the show for you. Tom Sawyer,
you.
It's a musical. It has lots of good songs to it. Does everyone know the story, Luke?
I would hope so, but if not, it's a classic Midwest story, the same one that Mark Twain, Samuel Clemens wrote, back with the show, The Adventures of Tom Sawyer. It actually started as a play, and then the musical production was created. The musical production follows almost exactly the story that he wrote, the book version, and kind of brings in some things from The Adventures of Huckleberry Finn as well, but most of it is focused on Tom Sawyer and the adventure and journey of Tom growing up, and the journey that he takes with his family, with Becky Thatcher, with Huck Finn, and the rest of the cast, to growing up, and not just growing up, but learning how to have fun, but still behave every once in a while as well.
Tom and his friend Huck, they deal with a lot of things. It is said that Samuel Clemens, who wrote as Mark Twain, I think everyone knows that, mm-hmm. he was actually writing about himself, his own hometown, and in fact, the area where the whitewashing of the fence takes place was actually the Clemens home at one time mm-hmm. in Hannibal, Missouri. There's actually a cave you can visit when you go to Hannibal, Missouri, and a little island where Huck hid out. There's actually an island out in the middle of the Mississippi, just as you cross the river into Illinois from Hannibal, Missouri. So some of it is based on the youth, probably a lot of dreams of things he would have liked to have done.
Wasn't brave enough, but
Tom and Huck did what he could not do.
Yeah, definitely. That's probably the most fun about the story is that it really is about a kid's imagination and enjoying just being a kid while you still can. I think that's probably my favorite thing from the show is the juxtaposition of the adults and life is hard. You have to work. You have to behave. You have to go to school versus the kids and just wanting to have fun and not worried about all of the hard stuff that comes with being an adult, but just being a kid.
He touches on subjects such as slavery as well, which was a big topic back in his time. Hannibal, Missouri. That's why Tom and Huck and some of their friends were involved in things like that. A little bit of folklore thrown in, cemetery humor. But some of this was things that people actually believed back then. So it was not totally out of context, all of this. Well, Andrew Ainsworth plays the role of Tom Sawyer, such a lovable, legendary type character in literature. How do you go about portraying someone that people have such a conceived belief about?
Well, honestly, the easiest thing to do is tap into my own personal childhood experiences and see how they mirror or are similar to what Tom has done, playing in the cemetery looking for a cure for your wart.
Sure.
Sneaking off, skipping school. You know, I tap into those personal experiences I have, and it makes it so much easier to convey this 15, 16-year-old boy who's just out having fun.
So you did all those things. You played the cemetery. You no, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. No.
Not that I haven't played the cemetery.
All things that he did. Oh, the whitewashing of the thing. There's a scene like that in the play?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Briefly. Aunt Polly tells you to go whitewash the fence, but you get others to do it for you.
Essentially, that's it. Tom has this uncanny ability to convince others to do what he personally wouldn't do or wouldn't want to do, such as whitewash the fence, promising to pay them in credit, trading them doorknobs, swords, buttons, always getting something out of it and still getting his work done.
And, of course, the honor of whitewashing that fence.
Of course. Who doesn't love whitewashing a fence?
For those who don't know, they actually have a special day in Hannibal where they have a whitewashing contest. So they, too, get people to whitewash the fence. Charges it all. Tom, of course, is in love with Becky Thatcher, played by Andrea Alanis, who plays the role of Becky Thatcher. You, too, have something to live up to. People have conceived notions of what Becky Thatcher and her family are like.
Sure. I've been working on being more childlike.
She looks young, but she actually has a family and three children.
I do.
Yeah. And what do they think of you playing? Have you had your kids read the story yet?
Yes, my son loves the story, and actually my daughter, she wanted to play the role of Becky Thatcher. Oh. But she's been helping me along, giving me some tips when I'm practicing at home and stuff. So
you know, Becky doesn't take a shine right away to Mr. Sawyer.
Well, actually, I think she's new to town, and she comes along and she meets Tom, and He's a little different, I think, than someone else she's come across, and I think she's kind of struck by his adventurous spirit. So I think she does fancy Tom, but her father isn't very fond of the relationship that he sees growing. Judge Thatcher.
Yeah, the daughter of a judge, which factors into the story later on, of course. Tracy Pratt plays the role of Aunt Polly. Some people ask and don't know how Aunt Polly came to be taking care of young Tom.
Well, his parents died, and so I'm actually taking care of Tom and his little brother, Sydney. And when you hear about all the hijinks of Tom, the nice thing about it is Sydney is Mr. Innocent and always Mr. Goody-Goody, and you kind of see this alter side, but actually he's just kind of as devilish as too. And he does it in a way, but he tries not to make it known to Polly or everybody else that he's so innocent. So it's kind of cute seeing it. Someone that's blatantly out there, you know, goofing off and having fun with life, and then there's Sydney who's playing the goody two shoes, but actually just as devilish. So, so it's kind of have two of them to deal with.
Trying to fool you.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, how does she see young Tom here? Does he need to be gotten under control?
Well, I think that she sees good in both the boys. I think that she loves them dearly, and just really happy to be having her kids. I mean, they're her kids. Even though she didn't give birth to them, they're her babies. And what she looks at with Tom is he's always, you know, figuring interesting ways to get things done, but he's always been a good kid at heart. So go ahead and have fun. And, you know, you see her kind of roll her eyes and, you know, go, oh, my gosh, it's happening again. But somehow he's still surviving and doing a great job with what it is.
So. Yeah, despite disappearing for days, being lost in a cave, where a lot of the romance takes place in the cave.
Right.
Yeah, tell me about that.
Well, I think the biggest part of that romance blossoming is we're trapped in a cave. There's no one but Becky and I to depend on each other, and that's really when we come into our own as individual people, but as a couple. We're both going through similar hardships and struggles, and that creates that bond between Tom and Becky that you see building throughout the show, but it's when it really solidifies it, is when they get lost in the cave.
Oh, yeah. I don't know if they still do. But years ago, when I last took the cave tour, they pretend that it's part of the story. It's a suspension of belief is what you need. As you're taking the cave tour, he will say, well, this is where Tom and Becky entered the cave, and this is where they walk next, and this is where the candle mysteriously goes out. And at that point, I'm ruining it. All the lights in the cave go out. So just to give you a little taste of that there. So they play it up for grabs, you know, as if people are familiar with the story and they know what's going on in that cave. Yeah, so a lot of adventure on that. Things happen later on with Tom and his best friend, I'm going to call him, Huckleberry Finn.
Most certainly. Gosh, we get into a whole bunch of trouble together. Between the trial with Injun Joe, hiding in the graveyard trying to cure our warts with a dead cat.
Yeah. With all due respect to our animal-loving friends.
Right.
We don't advocate any of this, of course, but like I said, people believed some of those folksy things back then, and they actually believed that this was a possible remedy for warts. So that's... It was part of the times, you know, as terrible as it really and as cruel as it really was. Tom Sawyer is a musical, Luke, and there are many songs in the story. Tell us about some of the songs and all of that.
Yeah, the musical is very interesting because it's not similar to other musicals in its category. And when I say in its category, I mean the Midwest folk musical. It kind of has a bluegrass, almost rock feel to the orchestrations, which really makes the songs a lot of fun. It makes the energy packed from very beginning to the very end. We have an incredible cast who really just delivers these beautiful ballads and these giant company numbers to the fullest of their potential. I think that the songs are probably really what drives the show. The book for the musical is great, but it's really the music that brings this story to life for all of us, and really brings that story that you heard of the kid to a whole nother level, a whole nother experience, where you know you're bringing the story of Aunt Polly, who is a minor character in relation to the Tom and Huck story. But in this musical, with her songs, Raising a Child by Yourself, which she sings with Judge Thatcher, and This Time Tomorrow, Polly really becomes a key player in how this story evolves. And really, I mean, I think, especially with Tracy playing the role, it blossoms into this very complex individual. And there are a lot of songs like that that include Judge Thatcher and a lot of the other adults that just gives a whole nother side to a lot of the characters that are kind of glossed over in the original novel that we really get to dig into in the musical.
Sure. How big of an orchestra or band do you have?
Yeah, it's a six-piece rock combo. There's a violin, guitar, bass, drums, but it... They're all from Kansas City. That's awesome. They're all Kansas City locals, which has not happened for a while. So that's awesome. And I think that they really provide, the cast can tell you better than I can even, a whole nother level of energy to the show. You can't explain it when you hear it. It's just I can't even, I'm speechless. We had our first orchestra rehearsal last week, and I think all of our jaws were just kind of dropped on how good the music sounds. And, you know, you hear it with a piano for a month and a half, and it kind of gets old after a while. We have a great pianist, but it just, after a month and a half hearing the same thing on the piano, it gets old, and then you bring the band in, and it's a whole new world, and suddenly the show starts gelling itself together.
Yeah, now he talked a little bit about your number. Tracy, do you have more than one?
Yes, I'm in a couple of different ones that are kind of group ensembles where we all have little parts that we sing individually. And that's kind of where you sing about the songs, kind of tell a lot of the story and bring the excitement to the show. Because right in the beginning, we're singing a song called Tom Sawyer, and you're seeing all these different characters, and they all have little lines and snippets here, and they're all just, you know, having little reactions. And in that one, I have a little solo part there, and I'm talking about, oh my gosh, Tom, what's going on with Tom? And then we have the preacher comes in, and he has a little, oh my gosh, what am I going to do with Tom? And the teacher. So there's all people saying their little parts on it. So we have a lot of ones like that. And then I have a duet with the judge. And then I have a solo. And there's also another one when we're in the church that is a blast. It is so much fun. We get up and we are just enjoying the story that Tom's telling us. We're getting excited about what he's telling us, so everybody's singing along with him. And then there's another one kind of on the dynamics that Luke was mentioning about the kids are all about fun, the parents are all about how hard it is. And so there's one where the kids are singing about, ain't life fun, it's so grand and fun, and we're like, it's so hard, it's work, it's all this. And there's little stories in there, and you're hearing about the life that they live, which same environment, same world, but totally two different dynamics. Mm-hmm. So that was really neat. And then there's an extremely emotional one that happens, and in that one, there's a really strong adult part that I have a little solo in, the judge has a solo in, and then our whole adult cast does. But intermixed in that is also parts where Tom and Becky also have little singing parts, and your heart you're hoping against hope that, you know, they get found and that something's happening, because we're talking about these children that are lost in the cave. And so you see the family side of it, like you're seeing how it affects everybody in the community, and then it goes back to the cave and you see them struggling too. So you're having all these feelings that you just it's very emotional. And we hope to bring that on stage. I will say sometimes we have a hard time because we get a little choked up on it too as well. Sure. So it's really great.
Do you have a lot of musical experience? Do you sing in a band or anything?
I don't sing in a band, but I've done several different musicals. Way back when, in my younger years, I was in the Air Force, and I sang in a touring group with the Air Force. And locally, I've done plays with Blue Springs, several plays there, Summit Theater Group, and CTI. So kind of in the local community, excited about that. So,
sure.
And then just singing here and there.
Glad to have you with us. Andrew plays Tom. What about some of your songs? What's your big number in the show?
Well, it's kind of a loaded question. I have two big numbers that I consider my big numbers.
Okay.
The first one happens right off the bat in the very beginning of Act One. It's when Tom makes his plan to run away and teach everybody in town, you know, that's what you get. You're going to be sorry you left me, that I'm gone. And then my personal favorite happens at the peak when Becky and I have been in the cave for 3 to 4 days. We're tired, we're on the verge of giving up, and Tom is there comforting Becky throughout this song, telling her to think about other things, distract yourself, try to think about the life you had before, think about the light up on the surface. And that's really where you see the big character change within Tom and Becky, is through that song right there. It shows the resilience of both these two young kids who've been trapped in a cave for days, pushing through to get out of the cave at whatever cost it takes.
Yeah, and maybe they never get out. Who knows? We don't want to give that away. What about Andrea?
I sing in a song called To Hear You Say My Name with Tom, a duet with him. And he's telling Becky how he's never heard anyone say his name so tenderly. He's used to being yelled at. And so it's always a chastisement when they're saying Tom. You know, they're getting after him for something. And so Becky doesn't talk to him quite the same as other people do, and so he appreciates it, and so he starts to sing to her about that, and she kind of echoes the feeling that she enjoys the way he speaks to her as well. And
the show opens this Thursday. Not much time left, Luke. Yeah, are they all fine-tuned pretty good by now?
Yeah. I have been so proud of this cast and how hard they work. I have very high standards for them, and they live up to it every single day.
Show opens Thursday the 14th at 7:30 p.m. Performances continue on Friday the 15th at 7:30 p.m. Saturday the 16th at 7:30. An afternoon matinee on Sunday afternoon the 17th at 2:00 p.m. A few days rest, and they're back at it on Friday the 22nd, 7:30. Saturday the 23rd, 7:30, and a final closing matinee on Sunday the 24th at 2 o'clock p.m. at the Blue Springs City Theater. This is located at 2000 Northwest Ashton Drive. If you zip code things, you need to put in 64013. It is the Blue Springs High School. The front side or the back side? Which
the front side. Right?
Stage actually has two sides, and you're in the cafeteria, there's one side, and if you didn't have the partition up, I guess you could see right through to the other side.
Yeah.
Makes for a lot of fun, I assume. The number to call for more information, 816-228-0137, or bluespringscitytheater.com. That's where you go on the internet. We're speaking with the director, Luke Atkinson, three of the members of the cast. Any particular difficulties? I guess the lights have to be low in a lot of the scenes.
Yeah, for this show, I have had the pleasure of getting to design the set lights and costumes as well, and that's probably the hardest thing, is in a small space like Blue Springs, it's hard to get dark and still make sure everybody can be seen in a cave that's supposed to have no light. But I have had a lot of fun getting to design the show and get to deal with those kind of difficulties. Same thing with, there are so many little snippets in the cave scenes where we're supposed to be in so many different caverns within little holes within the cave. And so blocking that and working with the cast and with Tom and Becky and Huck and getting that solidified has probably been the most fun with the cave. Yeah, cause it's a long scene. It's a long scene, but it's jam-packed full of all kinds of twists and turns.
Oh, yeah. I know there is. And there is, folks, a lot of different little channels in the cave as you walk around. Then that big room where they say the candle went out, so to speak. Actually, someone else is in the cave, too, as I recall.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Injun Joe is a big part of the story. Yeah, a big part of the story. I think that he is probably one of the only adults who has still a little bit of kid inside of him. And I think that's probably why he and Tom are so much alike. That's a key part in the book that they added in the stage directions, is this long paragraph about how Injun Joe and Tom Sawyer are so alike but so different at the same time. And I think that really comes in with Injun Joe. On, he still has the energy and the, unfortunately for him, in relation to the other adults, the mindset and the decision making of a child, which I think is what gets him into trouble, but also what leads him to the cave to find the treasure.
Yeah, yes, he's looking for a treasure. Won't say anything more about that. Whether they get out or not, I think you can probably guess that. All part of the story of Tom Sawyer, the musical, opening up this Thursday the 14th at Blue Springs City Theater. It's a musical set in the 1840s. You talked about the music earlier. Would you consider that to be more Americana-type music?
Yeah. I would say it is. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. Usually there is a banjo in the show as well.
I was going to ask that.
Yes.
Someone plays the banjo in the orchestra?
They do not in our show. We do synthesize it with the keyboard, and so we still have that banjo sound. But we unfortunately do not have a banjo in this show. But the Americana sound is still definitely held up with just how the orchestration is written between the other parts, especially with the fiddle.
You can hear groups playing occasionally that use that. They use the banjo, they use, and I'm not cussing, folks, the instrument was called the Jawbone of an Ass. and that was the actual name, but that can be played, and you can see that around town.
Well, I think that the music actually itself has that Americana feel. Even, I mean, the band members accentuate that, and you get that from all of those different instruments. But if you just had a cappella, the way that the songs are sung, the way that they put the notes together, it's got its own little role to it. It just is really great. So it just accentuates all of it with the band members, too. So.
Sure. Well, the show opens, of course, Thursday the 14th. Two weekends, basically, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, 7:30, an afternoon matinee on Sunday at 2 o'clock. Then the next week as well, the 22nd, 23rd, 24th, 7:30 on Fridays and Saturdays, a matinee on Sunday at 2 o'clock p.m., Blue Springs City Theater. to Blue Springs High School. Follow the sign. I guess the signs say to Blue Springs High School. I would.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And, no, and that's Ashton Drive as you travel in a southerly direction from I-70.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. 2000 Northwest Ashton Drive. If you MapQuest things 64013, or you can, you know, program into your driving instructor, 2000 Northwest Ashton Drive. It's the Blue Springs High School. The number to call, 816-228-0137, or online at bluespringscitytheater.com. You can, as I remember, you can get tickets online. Great. Or get reservations when you call the reservation number, which I just gave.
That's great.
They want to see Blue Springs Theater's production of Tom Sawyer, the musical, opening on Thursday, the 14th, in Blue Springs. Thank you very much, all of you, for being here. Luke Atkinson, the director of the show, Andrea Alanese, who plays the role of Becky Thatcher, Andrew Ainsworth, who plays the role of Tom Sawyer, and Tracy Pratt, who plays the role of the much-picked-upon Ed Folly in the Blue Springs City Theater production of Tom Sawyer, the musical. Opening up this Thursday. Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you for having us.
We're going to take a brief break. When we return, we have much more to tell you about. Summer musicals popping on all over the place around the area. We're telling you about as many as we can. Another one to talk to you about when we return. You're listening to the Arts Magazine radio program right here on KKFI. 90.1 FM. And welcome back to the Arts Magazine show right here on KKFI 90.1 FM, the community radio station right here in Kansas City. I'm Michael Hogue, your host, part of the Arts lineup here on KKFI. We have Arts Magazine every Monday at noon. We have Arts Speak Radio, which I will be subbing for later this month on Arts Speak Radio. You want to hear that. But you want to hear her every week, of course. Maria Vasquez-Boyd, she'll be here on Wednesdays and other shows occasionally. Come in with arts programming as well. All part of the arts lineup that we bring you to keep you fully informed about what's going on in the community right here on KKFI, your community station at 90.1 FM. Glad to have you with us, and we appreciate your support and all that goes with us as well. Welcome back to the show. We're going to be talking about another musical going on this summer. There's a lot of them going on this summer. This one, outdoors. Tom Sawyer, that's going to be indoors. But this one, like the Shakespeare Festival was, this is outdoors. It's going to be at Ironwoods Park in Leawood. It's the Leawood Stage Company and their production of Once Upon a Mattress. Welcome to the show, all of you. We have the artistic director of the Leawood Stage Company, Chris McCoy, is with us as well. Welcome back to the show once again.
Thanks for having us on, Michael.
Glad to have you with us. Also, Kurt Knupp, who plays Prince Dauntless. Is he dauntless or is he daunted?
He's dauntless the drab, yes.
Yeah, we'll fill you in on the story in just a minute here. I guess we're also expecting Rod Chapin, who plays the role of the wizard. He's out on the road somewhere, so Ron, be safe. We'll have plenty of time to ask you questions when you arrive on the show. But this is the outdoor production of the Leawood Stage Company. It opens this Thursday, the 14th. It's supposed to rain the next few days. Are you looking at the weather forecast to see what's going on?
Well, you know what they say about the weather in the Midwest. Just hang around for 5 minutes and it'll change. So that's a drawback to doing outdoor summer theater. But luckily, we also have a rehearsal space in Ironwoods Park. So if we get rained out on the stage, then we can move the cast up and they can still get a rehearsal in. But we keep our fingers crossed, and we've had pretty good luck in the past few years, so we'll see.
Yeah, that space also, because you could probably do the show in that space as well, if you absolutely had.
That's right. That has happened in the past, actually.
I doubt that you want to. You probably, a lot of people would be bunched in there, because at least on the times I've gone, you have pretty big crowds in Ironwoods Park.
Yeah, we usually get upwards of a couple thousand. Generally, over the 7 days that we do the show, we'll see about 10,000 people. It usually depends on, you know, the popularity of the show and, of course, how nice the weather is. But we're expecting big crowds for this because Once Upon a Mattress doesn't get done too often. I can't think of the last time it's been done in a big community theater in Kansas City area.
Did Carol Burnett do this on Broadway?
That's right. This was her big breakthrough role. It was Princess Winifred. And the famous song, I've always been shy, that we hear so often. But that's one of the big numbers from the show.
Yeah, well, let's hear a little bit about the storyline. As you said, it isn't done too often. Which one of you would like to tackle the storyline of Once Upon a Mattress?
I guess I can do that. The storyline is basically based on The Princess and the Pea, roughly the fairy tale. But in this version, the queen is very hard ruling, shall we say, and there have been 12 princesses prior to Princess Winifred that have not passed her test to pass as a real princess that's worthy for her son, Prince Dauntless. And
do we want to go into that, or do we want to keep that under our hat, so to speak? Or under our mat?
That's one of the first, jokes of the show. We may not want to give that away.
Okay, we don't want to give that away. Okay, so but it's a high standard.
Exactly. And so one of the knights with his lady-in-waiting decide they need to find a princess quickly. We won't reveal why. But Sir Harry goes in search of a princess and finds one in the marshlands to the north. And she's very excited to become married. So overly so that she swims the moat to get to the castle.
Anxious, is she?
She is.
How many people are in this cast?
Oh, I think we have about 35, somewhere around
pretty
there.
Varied,
yep,
yeah.
And then a full orchestra, as always, and many people helping out behind the scenes, too.
You have a nice outdoor concrete stage out there. Are all of the people on stage at once at any point? It's not really all that big of a stage, as I recall.
Yeah, I think in the opening number, just about everybody's on stage. We have expanded the stage in recent years, and they've built a really delightful set for the show. It's a cute little castle with two layers and lots of dungeons to go through. There's even a moat at the front of the stage, so you'll want to come out and check that out.
Yeah, anyone go in the moat? Yeah, you don't probably don't want to.
Well, we said Winifred swims Winifred. The moat.
She swims the moat. That's right. That's the way it happens. Tell us about some of the songs in the show. So, because you know, oftentimes people will be humming a song and they'll say, "Well, I like that song, but I'm not sure what that was from." Is this the case in this show?
Oh, probably. Like Chris mentioned, Carol Burnett's biggest number that's known from the show is Shy, where her opening song when she gets to the castle. There's also a number she does called Happily Ever After in the second act that's probably pretty well known. Mm-hmm. Couple of pretty duets between Sir Harry and Lady Larkin.
In a little while. Now, I have to admit, I played the role of the jester when I was in high school, so I'm very partial to the jester's song, the Very Soft Shoes, which is a fun dance number that he does in Act Two.
I'm taking a leap here, but is the jester part of the Commedia dell'arte, part of the... is it that same jester, or is that a different character?
I'm not sure that it comes from that, because this is set in the Middle Ages, so it's a little bit before Commedia dell'arte it really took off. But you've got the roles of the king, the minstrel, and the jester, and those three are kind of the comedic trio,
yeah.
Like the Three Stooges of
the
show.
Sure. Yeah. Well, some say that that's where the concept of the Three Stooges
exactly.
Came from.
Yeah, and so stock character, the idea of stock characters definitely stems from the Commedia dell'arte tradition.
Yeah. As you say, stock characters that came along, mm-hmm. appeared to be pretty consistent in shows that came out of that, or stories at least. Came out of that.
Yeah. That's right. You have the Pantalone, which was a dirty old man, and that's probably like the king, King Sextimus, in Once Upon a Mattress. The jester would have been the Arlecchino or Harlequin character.
That's the one everybody, and you would recognize it, folks, if you saw the character, because you've seen it in a lot of shows in one form or
that's
another.
That's right.
All around. Some of the other songs, or have we covered the basic ones in the show?
Well, the two that I get to sing, I end the first act with Song of Love, which is Prince Dauntless extolling all the virtues that Princess Winifred has to the cast of the castle, and she gets progressively drunk as she carries out these tasks, because number two of the task is that she can drink like a lord. So that gets repeated, and so by the end everyone's kind of falling down drunk, but it's
so
hilarious.
That's
fun
part
number.
Of the approval process, being able to hold one.
Well, this is her trying to figure out what the test may be the next day. So, yeah, Dauntless is trying to give her some hints of the, you know, this could it could be this, it might be that.
Yeah.
I think one of the most clever conceits of the show also is that the king, a spell has been cast, so he doesn't speak. So the role of the king, he does a trio where the minstrel and the jester sing, and he does kind of pantomime to finish out the songs. So that's one of my favorite. That's really a delightful dance number.
Oh, and I get a great number with the king as well, where he's trying to give the man-to-man talk with me, that he has to pantomime everything about the birds and the bees.
Does this go over well?
Oh, it's hilarious.
It would be hard to do without being graphic, which it's a family show. So
right.
There isn't anything graphic in there, really. Rod Chapin? Is it Chapin?
It's Chapin, yeah.
Has just arrived. I'm glad you got. Is the traffic better out there?
Well, actually, I teleported in. I'm the wizard, so I just, you know, had a little timing issue. So.
Yeah, you are the wizard. That's right. How does the wizard feel into all this? We know that she's trying to fulfill the requirements to become the wife.
Well, there can't be a show unless you have a you know, antagonist. And what I do is I am here to support our antagonist. We have a lovely, lovely queen who is, you know, very, very passionate about her son. This is the whole reason why we have all these tests, to find a young princess who's going to measure up to the standards that the queen has set for somebody who's going to marry young Dauntless. So what the wizard is he's out there supporting the queen, making sure that the tests are absolutely positively fair, beyond any compare. And what we do is make sure the best thing is going to happen for Dauntless, according to the queen.
Yeah, according to the queen. Is he kind of a Wizard of Id type character?
Wizard of Id? I'm not sure.
The comic strip.
Oh, well, I don't necessarily know that you would say that he is, you know, a comic strip character, but he does have, let's just say he's magically challenged.
Okay. Sounds interesting. Do you perform magic on the stage in Ironwood Park?
Oh, I don't want to give any trade secrets away.
Okay. So, a lot of secrets in this show. We're speaking with the artistic director and some of the cast of the show. Once Upon a Mattress, a production of the Leewood Stage Company, opens this Thursday, the 14th. At 8 o'clock p.m., it's not probably completely dark at 8, but it's probably close enough to start. And performances continue Friday the 15th and Saturday the 16th and Sunday evening the 17th, all at 8 o'clock p.m. In Ironwoods Park. Performances then, after a few days off, continue on Thursday the 21st, Friday the 22nd, and Saturday the 23rd. I couldn't find a listing for a Sunday that week. Is that all there is?
That's right. We end on Saturday night so that we can strike the set on Sunday.
That's right. The number to call for more information, at least what I was able to glean from your website, is 913-339-6700, extension 157. Is that the? Of course, you don't need reservations because it's outside. Or do you have special places that you want them to have reservations?
Well, we don't take reservations. However, if we do provide some seating at the front of the amphitheater, so if people would like to reserve seats, they can call that number, ask for April Bishop, who's the cultural coordinator for the city of Leewood, and we will reserve some of those seats. But it's also lovely. We have plenty of seating, just like the Shakespeare Festival, in the park, so if you want to bring your own chairs or blankets and a picnic, it's a lovely outdoor experience.
And it's nice and tiered, so you don't have to worry about the people in front of you.
That's
standing
right
up for a standing ovation, you'll still be able to see over them.
That's right.
That's right. The website, if you would like to go there and read all about it, is leewoodstageco.org. And it is, of course, in Ironwoods Park. That is 14701 Mission Road. So the best way to get there, as I recall, Mission Road doesn't go all the way through. It
stops
right for a time.
I usually go State Line South to 135th Street, okay, and then you can jump over to Mission and head straight south.
Yeah.
To the park.
That's where Ironwoods Park is. Well, they have the indoor productions at a lodge there.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it used to be a private club probably years ago.
Yeah, it's still a banquet facility. So they do a lot of weddings and different special events down there throughout the year.
Yeah. Shows begin at 8 o'clock p.m. on each night. You do one each summer. Then you do the Leewood Stage Company. They do other productions during the winter inside in the lodge.
That's right. We're doing three shows each season. So we did a spring show, actually, at Church of the Resurrection. We did My Fair Lady, which was a big success. That was our spring show. And then this fall, we'll be doing Sweeney Todd at the lodge at Ironwoods Park.
Ah, yes. Ed Barber is at it again.
That's right. That's right. So after our family-friendly musical, a very macabre show for the Halloween season.
Oh, yeah. Well, what would you expect?
That's right.
You have people getting cut all over the place. but it's a fun kind of show.
Yes.
Demon Barber of Fleet Street.
And, great music.
And he has
great
problems. But that's the Halloween show. We're speaking now about Once Upon a Mattress from the Leewood Stage Company, based on the book...
The Princess and the Pea by Hans Christian Andersen.
That's right. A story by Hans Christian Andersen. That's absolutely correct. Do you want to address some of the other performers in the show other than Rod?
Yeah,
and,
we should speak about the artistic team. Annette Cook is our director this summer. She's also the director and costume designer, and I have to tell you, these costumes, she has made every one from scratch, and they are beautiful, exactly what you would expect in a medieval or Renaissance style show. So that's really going to add a touch of glamour and grandeur to the show this summer. Sarah Blakesley is our music director. Other cast members that you want to mention?
Tracy Fox plays Queen Agravaine. That's my mother and the leader of There the Wizard. That he, Camille
Breckenridge
is Princess Winifred, and she's just a little spitfire. Fantastic.
Then we have a number of different community members, as well as different characters that range, for example, the minstrel telling the story, sort of a
narrator. Chad Barris plays the minstrel.
Chad Barris. We probably have seen him in a number of community theaters across Kansas City.
Aaron Fink is the jester.
That's right. Ray Ettinger is our noble king, and
King's
you're smiling,
King.
Nodding. Probably have seen Ray.
I know Ray Ettinger. Yeah, he often will be a choreographer too.
Right, or even
a musical director,
well,
yeah. A man of many talents, and it's amazing that he has been able to be as quiet.
that is amazing.
It is. He is going through this entire show. In mime.
If you saw the producers at the barn earlier this year, that was Ray in the lead,
right,
in the lead row
right.
There. Solid, short in stature, but long in talent, you might say.
And absolutely hilarious.
And is he knitting anything during the rehearsal process?
would it be Ray if he wasn't?
Of course.
I mean, let's face it, the man is in the Guinness Book of World Records.
I think so.
Absolutely.
I think he probably is. It sounds like you have a very talented cast. How is your director, Annette Cook? How has the rehearsal process been going? Do you do the music first? Do you work on the dramatic part of the acting first? What is her style?
The first week, we concentrated on the music. I think the second week got into some of the choreography and blocking then. I think Annette's been great to work with because her style is one that allows you to try things out and play, and then, you know, oh, that's not working, let's try this. She's great at that, and she's great at encouraging you to work through things and come up with your own bits, you know. So I've been having a great time with her.
Well, see, I was surprised at Chris's remark earlier, all the costumes made from scratch. You know, that's very difficult.
It is. But, yeah, she just has a wonderful eye and aesthetic sense for costumes. So she knew when we hired her as director, she knew she wanted to be a director. She was very excited to design the costumes as well. So she started working on them even before we got a cast. She started assembling the fabrics and the designs. And so she's been stowing away.
Yeah, they are wonderful.
Let's hear about the wizard's costume. That would be, what, capes and things like that?
Oh, it's kind of an all-encompassing, you know, garb. Actually, there are two characters that I have the pleasure of playing in this. One is the wizard, and the wizard does have a transformation to the nightingale. And the nightingale is a character that the wizard becomes in terms of, it is basically to be able to help the princess fall asleep. And frankly, I have not seen the nightingale costume completely yet, but I'm really excited about the opportunity to become, you know, A bird.
Well, I hope it fits. You only have a couple of nights yet.
I wonder if a feather boa might be involved in this costume.
Oh, that would be interesting.
Right now, I think all options are on the table as far as I'm concerned with my imagination, but I know Annette will have something spectacular. I know she's been measuring me and had me try on a few things, but...
Yeah, her imagination is very important, not just in a musical. A musical is different from a regular play in that concept. Not too often in real life do people break out into song, but it happens in musicals.
Exactly.
So, it happens in my life.
You break a song often.
Yes, quite often. You know, speaking of music, I realize we didn't mention that the composer of the show is Mary Rodgers, who is the daughter of Richard and Rodgers, Rodgers and Hammerstein fame. So a lot of people don't know that it has that kind of musical theater lineage as part of it. And she didn't write many other shows besides this.
Well, I was going to ask that. She didn't do all that many, even though her father was quite famous.
Right. I think she wrote a few songs for the musical Working, and then she's also the mother of Adam Gettle, who has become quite a composer himself, writing Light in the Piazza.
Well, that's quite a family.
Yeah, that's right. There's a lot of talent in the Rodgers family.
No one knew all the connections were not known. Mm-hmm. Through all of that as well. Speaking with the with Chris McCoy, he's the artistic director for the Leawood Stage Company.
And, that's right.
What all goes into doing that? You have the summer musical, you have shows during the year, do you have other duties?
Well, yeah, we've really been trying to step up because we've always done three shows, but each show was kind of left to its own devices. So this year was the first time we did unified auditions, and we had, I think, over 200 people come and audition for each show. They could choose to audition for the entire season, or if they were only interested in auditioning for just one, they could do that. So we had a really exceptional turnout for that, and that was a great success. And then, like I said, we did My Fair Lady at Church of the Resurrection. So we were trying out a new space. That's one of my jobs, is trying to figure out, okay, when can we work around all those weddings in the lodge that we mentioned, finding space? And then I work a lot with the cultural coordinator at the City of Leawood, April Bishop, who is amazing in how much she does for us. She, for the past few weeks, has been working from dawn to 11 o'clock at night.
Tell us about the amenities out there. Are there things for the public to buy, like drinks, snacks, things like that?
Yes, we will have concessions available. We're actually partnering with Cosentino's Price Chopper this year, so they'll be providing some things for us. A few nights, I believe, the Daughters of the British Empire are going to be selling scones and nice British fare connection with the story. We also have water that will be for sale. But like I said, it's open, so we invite people to bring their own picnics or whatever they'd like and sit out on the lawn and really enjoy the show.
Well, and one of the other things that I think that everybody will be excited about is a princess contest.
Oh, that's right.
We are going to be...
That sounds interesting. All of you young prospective princes out there, listen up.
Yes, exactly. We're going to be doing that, I believe, before the show, so that if you have a young princess that is regaled with proper accoutrements, definitely bring her out. I'm sure that there'll be fun and prizes, you know, for different princesses that are involved with the pageant. Of royalty that'll be
That's
starting
right.
at the beginning.
Like
the
costume contest.
Do they need to bring their own crown and robe and all of that?
They need to bring everything that they need to be for a princess.
That's right.
And it can be of any age. We're not limiting this to children, are we?
I think
children are encouraged, but
exactly,
I'm sure we wouldn't turn anyone away.
You know what, any middle-aged gals, and I know a few, we probably would like to at least try out for the princess.
They're welcome, too.
Yeah. I guess that we're an equal opportunity contest, I guess, probably.
But sure. But they should arrive at Ironwoods Park. Oh, when do you open the gates down there?
Well, since the park is open all day, people tend to arrive probably for an 8 o'clock show around 6:30 or 7. Sometimes they get there even earlier, but, you know, you'll be sitting out in the heat for quite a while.
If they should bring their own blanket and folding chairs, I assume.
Yep, we do have a few chairs, like I said, that are at the front of the amphitheater, but those are first come, first served. So once those fill up, you can move on to the grass. We do have indoor plumbing out there, which is a great amenity, so I want to push that
button. It is, yeah.
especially on a hot night. But
That's right.
You'll have things for sale. They can also bring their own water and their own food,
sure.
Right? Out to Ironwoods Park, which is, as I said earlier, as we talked about earlier, 14701 Mission Road. So that's the equivalent of 147th Street.
Exactly.
So you know you're going to go quite a ways south. I know the first time I went down there, I kept thinking, Michael, you've gone too far. But I hadn't gone too far yet.
Right?
That's why I asked the best way to go. So you suggested perhaps State Line all the way to 135th. Then go right and go west until you get to Mission. And from there, you can go south on Mission Road to the park.
That's right. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's been so much development on 135th as well as 151st Street, and we're kind of right in between those. So you might want to come down, check out one of the great restaurants, or go to the Prairie Fire, and then pop over and see the show.
Sure, that's down there. Prairie Fire is down in that area as well. I want to thank my guests for being with us today and enlightening us on the Leawood Stage Company and their production of Once Upon a Mattress, which opens this Thursday, July 14th. All the performances are in the evening because it's outdoors. All of the performances are at 8 o'clock p.m. So this Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at 8 o'clock p.m., they get a few days off, and it's Thursday the 21st, 22nd, and 23rd, all at 8 o'clock p.m., and all in Ironwoods Park at 14701 Mission Road. If you MapQuest things, you need to feed in there 66224, the number to call for any other questions you might have, 913. I assume you're calling the city of Leawood.
That's right. Number. Like I said, ask for April Bishop.
913-339-6700, extension 157. If you'd like your information fast and to the point, go online to leawoodstageco.org. for all of that information. I want to thank all of you for being with us. Chris McCoy, the
assistant
director of Leawood Stage Company, Curtain Up, who plays Prince Dauntless.
Thank you so much.
Daunted or Dauntless?
Dauntless.
And Rod Chapin, who plays the role of the wizard and a bird of some kind.
The Nightingale.
The Nightingale. Thank you so much. All of you for being with us. The Jazz Insider, I believe, is back this week. I think so. So he'll be with us. He's going to be playing some fine jazz from 1 to 3, the blues from 3 to 6, right here on your community radio station, 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City's community radio. So until next we meet, ladies and gentlemen, at that crossing the road, I'm Michael Hogue. We'll see you next time.